And now, more tips with your host, Rebecca, on lifestyle improvement.
And remember that in our program, we present our opinion and the opinion of our guest, and is not to be interpreted as medical advice. Hello, and welcome to our program, Lifestyle Improvement. This is your host, Rebecca. Today we have with us Judy Burwell. Judy works for H&R in the state of Washington as a certified tax professional registered with the IRS and as a tax consultant serving over 500 clients each year. She is a facilitator and a trainer of over 180 tax professionals who prepare on a yearly basis to meet the needs of their clients during the tax season. She agreed to come speak to us today about the tax advantages in caregiving and the smartest way to prepare for the upcoming tax season. Thank you for joining us today, Ms. Burwell.
Thank you for having me today.
You know, talking about taxes may not be the most exciting dinner conversation for some of us, but it is certainly very valuable to know there are helpful deductions that you can use if you are a caregiver. But before we get started on that subject, tell us a little bit more about how you got started. I am very intrigued. You went from being a successful advertising and graphic design fine arts graduate from the University of Michigan to becoming a certified tax expert. How do you make that jump, and why did you decide to make such a drastic career change?
Well, the good thing is math was always my forte. So in advertising and taxes, you need to have some knowledge base in math. But when I met my husband, he went in the military. So I decided to join him, and then we started our family. So after about a decade, it was time for me to get back into the workforce, because by then the technology had taken over. And so moving around a lot, I tried to keep up the advertising. But unfortunately, you have to have a client base. And we moved 14 times at that point. So the good news is, especially working for HR Block, they have 14,000 offices. It had a little job security where I didn't have to keep starting over and over. I could just walk in and say, hi, you know, I have a tax background. So that's my story. It's that I can offer information and get to know a lot of people. I feel it's been my calling. At our job, you're at our tax desk. And so I get to know you on a very, very personal level. And more importantly, I get to hear your story. And so at that point, it gives me the ability to determine what you will qualify for and be your personal consultant. And through this interview, you're going to find there are so many tax savings every taxpayer can do, because I have to try to teach you to see your world through tax versus, you know, something everybody really doesn't enjoy doing primarily.
So how do you stay current? There is so much information and it changes every year.
Well, to be a professional, you have to take 15 credited hours, and then you have to take ethics and updates yearly. And then we are able to stay on top of the magnitude of tax changes. And all the biggest word you're going to learn is qualifying for these things. A lot of people don't understand why so-and-so got a bigger refund than them. Taxes are as unique as people themselves. Now, we're not limited to 15 hours. We can take as many hours as we can. And, you know, we have upper senior level classes is what we call them. And then, of course, you could become an enrolled agent, and then you're a representative to the IRS. Now, I do assist in a lot of the audits, because a lot of it's just talking their language. It intimidates the heck out of people. And so I'm able to sift through, find out what it is they're actually asking, and to help calm people down, because it's scary to get an IRS letter.
It is, especially when you really don't know all of the information, all the procedures or the policies, and more than anything, the law.
Well, and it's daunting. I have clients that have the aptitude to do taxes, but depending, you have to sift through what applies to you. And for a lot of people, it's just easier to have me do it than for them to sit there all weekend or for a couple of weeks sifting through it. So it's just like everything. It's a convenience for a lot of people, but it's also knowledge. I mean, it's really explaining, and lives are ever changing, even within 1 year. So it's not just common knowledge to everybody. You got a young couple, perhaps just getting married, getting into jobs, getting into home, having children, versus the person who's worked their whole life, entering into retirement. How does that affect my taxes? And then everybody in between.
That makes a lot of sense. And I'm sure it's a great opportunity to create really important relationships and strong bonds as people trust you with their money.
You know, that's an important word, is trust. My clients do know I will do everything I can to, if I don't know off the cuff, to research it. And we do get some whoppers. I mean, people have very complicated situations. A lot of times when they're not really complicated people, you know, unfortunately, a few years ago when the economy tanked, so many people our age, you know, went into foreclosures, were losing their homes. And there were so many things, if they had just called a tax person, which in a lot of times isn't the person you really think to call, but we could have given a lot of suggestions. Even if you didn't take our suggestions, you had an informed decision. You know, you knew it could weigh everything. And that's what I tell most people. I'm going to give you food for thought. What you ultimately choose to do is up to you. But at least now you know your choices. And so that's very useful as a consultant.
Exactly. This program, of course, is to support caregivers. And we're going to be talking specifically about some of the advice and some of the information you have for caregivers. But you're uniquely qualified because you were a caregiver as well, correct?
Yes, at one point with my mother and other family members, you know, just assisting them. And I'm going to categorize for you because caregiver is very, very broad. I mean, some people, it's their profession, and others step out to care for a parent, and others, it's an adult disabled child, whether they've been disabled their whole life or they get severely ill and they became disabled. And there's a magnitude of different levels of deductions depending on their circumstances.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. I think that this is very valuable information. So let's jump right in there. And what kind of advantages does the IRS offer caregivers?
Well, I kind of broke it down into maybe four or five different categories. The hardest one would be the caregiver. It's just their job. They get a W-2 and they travel around to different clients. Perhaps they have certifications, education, mileage, but in order to get that deduction, they would have to be itemizing. So a lot of times they're just lost tax advantages. The second group would be self-employed caregivers. Perhaps you run your own business. Well, there's a magnitude of deductions, pretty much anything that's necessary for you to conduct business. But that person would probably have to come see me to get everything that they're entitled to take. I think the group that we need to kind of focus on are the family members that are caring for an individual. And the best way to understand a lot of this is just for me to give examples. And it's not going to cover everybody, but it might give them an idea of what I'm talking about. So for instance, let's say you have three siblings taking care of an elder parent. Now, if that parent's income, taxable income, is less than $4,000, and this would be a case where that individual might only have Social Security, then they qualify as a dependent on those children's taxes if in combination they support the parent over 50%. Now, that could be two siblings are paying 20%, and one is paying 10%. That parent does not need to live in the household. Therefore, they could be in their own home, or they could be in a nursing home, or they could be in assisted living. But if they qualify as a dependent, then that family member can take all their expenses. And unfortunately, you know, the elderly have a lot of costs, even if they have good insurance, because they might be paying assisted living, prescription drugs. They're frequently driving back and forth to their medical appointments or dental appointments. And then if they are a qualified dependent, then that taxpayer can take all those expenses along with dependent care. That person needs, somebody coming and seeing them, or they're going to a facility kind of like a child does with daycare. Now, the reason why I brought up that example of siblings is a multiple support means you can rotate the adult child that could claim their parent. So that's one example. Probably the most common example is the person themselves. So you've got an elderly person that has a lot of costs. And so the biggest expense is going to be all their medical costs and stuff. So if they were, for instance, in a nursing home or assisted living, they're very expensive, but they can be deductible under medical. Same thing if you have to do certain things to their home, like put in ramps or rebuild their bathrooms. And again, everything is about qualifying. If, you know, we have to also see if it lends itself to a capital gain in the home. A lot of times it doesn't. It's just necessity things. Another perfect example is a lot of elderly need guide dogs. So not only is the dog itself a deduction, but the welfare and care of the dog, their food, their veterinarian bills and things like that. And as far as what is deductible, and this is for any and all taxpayers, you know, is anything out of pocket, insurance, prescriptions, mileage, it's a magnitude. And so I always just tell my clients, save all your receipts. I'll sift through them. I mean, dental, implants, optical, pretty much anything you have to pay to take care of yourself and your dependents.
So this would be deductions that the daughter or the son would be taking because they're caring for their parent.
If they qualify as a dependent. So this would be a pretty low-income parent. They would have to have less than $4,000 of taxable income. So that, again, that just tells me this is the parent that perhaps only has Social Security. Otherwise, the parent is the taxpayer, you know. So it's just if they have a pension and investments and things like that. And that's the questions you want to ask your tax professional. Now, there's a third group, and that is people caring for somebody, and it's usually a family member, that's paid through the state. And just last year, they determined, not in all cases, but in certain circumstances, it's tax-free income. And why is that important? Because a lot of people leave their jobs because they have to care for their parent. They can't leave them, or a child or an adult. And the state pays, and that's incredible to be paid. And it's never a lot of money. It might be $18,000, $20,000 or something, but it's tax-free dollars. So that's another benefit for caregivers.
This is your host, Rebecca. And now we will take a short break, and we will be right back with more ideas on lifestyle improvement.
Specialized approach to spinal care is what you will find in the Advanced Spinal Care Clinic in Graham, Washington. Here's Dr. Craig Lipinski explaining why Nuke Care is unlike any other treatment.
Our goal is that we're making a specialized correction to the skull, the atlas, and the neck of each individual that is custom made or custom and specific created to get them healthy and then have them stay that way.
One of only 23 board certified NUCA practitioners in the world, Dr. Craig Lipinski offers you care that can significantly impact your health in positive ways.
This week we've seen somebody in here who's had a 50 point drop in blood pressure by having the skull, atlas, and neck corrected to a proper position.
To find out more about how NUCA Care can change your life, visit www.nuccawashington.com or call 253-445-8181.
Could you explain more about the multiple support agreement, or do you think that you pretty much already elaborated as much as you wanted on that?
Let's say you provide over 50% of your parent or child. If it's your child, that adult child has to live with you at least 6 months. But if it's a parent, they do not. But a lot of circumstances, all the family members are helping out. And what the multiple support does is you list all the family members that equal 50%. They have to minimally be contributing 10%. But what happens is year after year after year, they can rotate which family member perhaps could take the expenses. And that just sort of gives each one a tax break. Or they might just decide to give it to the family member who has the highest income, because again, it's all about what portion of your income falls into the higher tax brackets. So somebody in the 25% tax bracket or higher probably would benefit more than the person in a much lower tax bracket. Once you're at zero tax liability, there's no more money to get back.
So as you know, many caregivers are also preparing the taxes for their loved ones. What are some of the medical deductions that are available, and what are some of the exemptions that are available for them?
Well, there's a few things. As far as strictly medical, I was kind of listing them, you know, dental, orthodontist, prescriptions, glasses, even meals and lodging. Let's say you have to take them to a specialty center, whether it's up in Seattle or perhaps it's even out of state, you can even deduct some of those costs for the person traveling. One of the biggest things I see, because, you know, your seniors go very regularly to the doctors, I mean, weekly. And unfortunately, those that are suffering serious illnesses like cancer, I have a lot of cancer patients that are up at the university. And, you know, you're driving a couple hundred miles 2-3 times a week. It all adds up. Like I said, I just get a folder, and this is for all the dependents in the household, not perhaps just the one that's ill. And so therefore, everybody's medical expenses. And of course, insurance is one of the biggest ones if you're paying it out of pocket for that.
And I think that's a big subject, because the medical expenses, like you said, is one of the biggest things that you have to be aware of if you have a loved one that is either an elderly person or someone that you care for that has been in an accident. The expenses can be unlimited.
You know, I can give you an example. I had a client that came in, and she had gotten an IRS letter, I think. Her husband had cancer and her son had lupus. And so she was caring for both of them, and she was being very responsible and paying a lot of the medical. And each year she was paying about $20,000. Well, nobody ever told her it was deductible. We are allowed to amend 3 years back, and I got her back about $26,000 of lost tax dollars. So this is how important it is. If you're not familiar or don't have the time to understand the tax laws, because what I find, you know, everybody always says how people cheat the IRS. I find more often than not, people are not taking the things they're entitled to take, and they're actually kind of cheating themselves. And, you know, that's when they say there's all these tax dollars out there. The IRS has to allow people 3 years to file and 3 years to amend, which means if there's an error or something you forgot to take, you can amend your taxes and get that money back. And they even pay you interest on it while they had your money. And all those tax dollars, they can't touch it until it has expired. Then it just becomes government's money.
So what are some other credits and deductions that caregivers could take advantage of?
Well, two of the things I suggest in a world that medical, since we're kind of in that direction, is so expensive. What I try to get people to think is in tax terms. Most people think, oh, I just got to keep making more and more money. And what we have to do is get very strategic with our money. And one area that I recommend to people, because it benefits the lower income people and the higher income people, and that's HSAs and flex spending. And the reason why I bring that up is they're tax deferred dollars. And you can get into a single, like if you're just a single person, or you can do a family. And what all this means is you can contribute around a little over $3,000 if you're single and a little over $6,000 if you're a family.
And HSA are health savings accounts?
Yes, it's a health savings account and a flex spending. And I'd like to share the difference between the two. They're both an employee-sponsored program. But for example, let's say you decided to contribute $3,000 in an HSA. If you're in the lower tax bracket, like the 10%, you're saving $300. If you're in the 25% tax bracket, you're saving around $800 or $900. And the best part about an HSA is you can keep contributing it year after year. It's for medical. So let's say you had, an implant you had to pay for, and you pulled $2,000 out of it. It's tax-free dollars as long as you can prove you had, $2,000 worth of medical expenses on all your dependents. But the best part about an HSA is you don't lose it. It's like a savings account for healthcare that's just year after year building up. And the best part is the interest is non-taxable when you pull it out. And a great example is I had a gal who had been contributing for about 4 years and had about $25,000 in there. Well, her daughter got a serious accident and had to have jaw surgery, which was not covered under her insurance. So she was able to pull out $24,000 to cover these medical bills tax-free. And she had the money available. And year after year after year, she probably saved about $7,500 in tax dollars. So again, it's a wonderful way to save money and do a positive thing. Now, that said, a flex spending is limited to either $2,000 or $2,500. I can't even remember myself because they're always changing. But that is a use it or lose it. So that would be, and again, you can take any amount you want, $1,000, $2,000, $500. But again, it's tax deferred. And my husband and I do this because he's in a little bit higher of a tax bracket. And there are just some basic bills you know you're going to have. We're not covered in our dental visits. We don't have optical. I have to get glasses every year. So we know we're going to at least spend $1,500 a year. So for us, we're saving around $500 on that $1,500. So again, it's just a smart way. But if you take too much out and don't spend it, you will lose it. So you got to be careful with that one. With the flex spending, they actually issue kind of like a debit card. It's a Visa debit card. And so when you go get your prescriptions or whatever, they just run it through. But like I said, you want to make sure, if you have a family of even two, I'm sure you easily spend minimally that much money. I mean, I could be wrong, but most people encounter co-pays, prescriptions, some basic expenses for healthcare.
That's for sure. And, going back to the health savings accounts, because based on the fact that caregivers, daughters, sons that are caring for their elderly parents can indeed, as you mentioned earlier, claim them as dependent, then those expenses as well can be included into that pool, creating that health savings accounts, correct?
Absolutely. And I do want to clarify, because this is very, very important. Just because they're your parent doesn't mean they'll qualify as a dependent. So that's the biggest thing, is first to find out if they qualify. But absolutely, if they do, exactly that. So it's a double fold. Here you're able to use those dollars, tax deductible, and then turn around. You can't double dip. So if you had $5,000 of medical that you used out of your HSA because they're tax deferred, but you really spent $10,000, the other $5,000 you could deduct on your Schedule A. Mm,
there you go. Perfect. Thank you so much for explaining that. Now, retirement is a really hot topic for caregivers, Judy. Many of them have to leave their jobs or are not working because they're caring for their loved one. Therefore, thinking about retirement can be a source of worry for them since they're not able to participate in a work-related retirement program. What is the difference between a Roth and a traditional IRA? And would either of these two options be a good alternative for those caregivers?
Another area, and again, it's just kind of being responsible for ourselves. It's wonderful when I can get young people and explain some of this stuff, because one thing we don't do with our children, or I don't want to say everybody doesn't do, but we don't teach them about finances. It's very important for them to understand. And, I deal with a lot of young soldiers. They're 18, 19, 20 years old. They're away from home. They don't have that parental guidance in their life. And I'm able to expose them to a lot of things. And what I tell to everybody, no matter how old you are, the more you do now, the better off you're going to be when you're older, especially if you're in your young 20s. So I want to tell everybody, because this is probably the greatest missed credit people aren't aware of. Two things you have to understand is you do need to have earned income to participate in any kind of a retirement. Now, that said, if you're married, you've left out of the workforce to be a caregiver, but your husband works. The IRS allows the non-working spouse to contribute, even if the working spouse has a retirement. I encourage all stay-at-home moms, caregivers, whomever, because that way they can be contributing to a retirement. That's very important. Back in the day when Social Security was designed, that's what you could live off of. Well, we all know if it's even going to be available to us when we're able to collect it, very few people can live off of Social Security alone. And not all companies offer a retirement.
And remember that in our program, we present our opinion and the opinion of our guest, and it's not to be interpreted as medical advice.
Thank you for joining us today here on Lifestyle Improvement for part one of our interview with Judy Burwell. Judy works for H&R in the state of Washington as a certified tax professional registered with the IRS and is a tax consultant serving over 500 clients each year. She is a facilitator and a trainer of over 180 tax professionals who prepare on a yearly basis to meet the needs of their clients during the tax season. Thanks again for joining us today here on Lifestyle Improvement. And don't forget to join us again next Sunday morning from 7:30 to 8 for part two of our interview with Judy Burwell.